that I brought my copy of Arab in here.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't know that I had it.
Okay, hopefully we'll start that later in the week. I think we made a decision that we'll wait a few more days. Oh, you have it now?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is my This is
okay. Good.
This
good.
Is like a big, thick book like that one.
Right.
Because Arabin isn't thin. So you're going to start when? On Thursday, probably.
I think on Thursday, probably. That's the way it's looking now.
Okay.
So we're on Daf Lamed Beis, and we're still in the Mishnah. We're finishing the Mishnah. Hopefully, and starting the Gemara. That's our goal for today. So you remember that yesterday, the last thing we discussed was the question of judgment during the day, judgment during the night. And here we distinguish between Dini Momenos and Dini Nefoshos. With regard to Dini Nefoshos, it's not so simple to complete the judgment in Dini Nefoshos at night. We may allow that in a case of zchus, in other words, if they find the accused innocent, so we might allow that to be a gemar din balayla. But if we're going to find him guilty, then we're going to insist that the Gemara didn't be by the day. So let's read the Lashon of the Mishnah. This will be a chazor of what we did yesterday. It says the following: Dine Momenos, Donim Bayom, V'gomrim Balayla. With regard to Dine Momenos, we can complete and hand down the verdict at night. And the Mishnah says that's going to work in all cases. It doesn't matter whether we're finding this one chayev, this one zakai. This is a general rule that we allow completing the din at night. And this is all based on a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, v'shaftu esa'am b'chol eis, implying that you can judge by night as well. Another pasuk says "Bayom in chilas banam," which implies "Ain donim el bayom." So the Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled says, "Okay, said how we reconcile these two?" And the answer is that "Yom is l'tchilas din, but laila is gemar din." So we begin the judgment, we start the deliberations, we weigh the evidence. All that is during the day, because the pasuk says "Bayom." It says b'chol eis. That's as far as the gemar din is concerned. The final gemar din could be balayla. That's in dine momenos. The Meiri, if you recall from yesterday, went as far as to say that even the deliberation could be at night if they started the deliberation by day, whereas the Adrama says no. The deliberations have to be completed by day, and only the Gemar Din could be at night. Okay, that's as far as Dine Momenos is concerned. However, with regard to Dine Nefashos, we have a special pasuk, and this is in Bamidbar Chafhei. It says, Vahoka Osom Lashem Neged HaShemesh. And the Gemara is going to derive from this pasuk, Neged HaShemesh, that in Dine Nefashos, that's the context of that pasuk, it's got to be Keneged HaShemesh, it's got to be Bayom. So therefore our Mishnah says that Dine Nefashos Donim Bayom V'Gomrim Bayom, that as opposed, in contrast to Dine Momenos, where you allow the Gemara Din to be at night, in Dine Nefashos the Gemara Din has to be Bayom. There's no possibility of handing down a verdict in a capital case at night. Then the Mishnah says there's another difference between Dine Momenos and Dine Nefashos. Dine Momenos, Gomrim Bo Bayom, Bein Lizchus Ubein Lechova. Al Dine Nefashos, Gomrim Bo Bayom, Lizchus. ubayom shaliachov lechov. So before we were talking about bayom and balayla, now we're talking about bo bayom. Bo bayom means on the same day. So let's say, for example, the judgment, the deliberations began on a Monday. And we're talking about Dini Momenos. There's no pressing need for the courts to hand down their final decision on that very Monday. So that's called Bo Bayom, Bein L'Schus, Bein L'Chova.
They can if they want to.
And they can if they want to. Excellent. In the case of Dini Nefashos, they can decide Bo Bayom, but only L'Schus. Now, if they want to say that the accused is vindicated, he's acquitted, they can acquit him during the on the same day. But in the case of finding the accused guilty, and he's chayav misa, then b'yom shaliachrov l'chov, we have to wait one day at least. They can't possibly deliberate on this and hand out a verdict on the same day. And the Gemara later on is going to derive this from Pesukim. And basically the philosophy is give the judges a little bit time overnight to rethink their decision. Again, if they came to the decision that he's acquitted, let him hand out that decision, send him home, let him go home packing, and everything is happy and everything's good. But in terms of finding someone guilty, we're not going to allow that verdict to happen on the very same day of the deliberations. We need what's called halonas hadin. I think I wrote that on the board yesterday. Yeah, linas hadin, if you remember. And that is, we have to have lina. Lina means to wait overnight. And maybe during the course of the night, the judges will rethink it. You know, they can't sleep at night because they know they're about to condemn a person to death. And they'll come up with some schus. So that's called bayom shaliachrov lechova. Now the Mishnah continues that and says the following. As a result of this halacha, that this requirement of halonas hadin in dinin nefashos, ain't done in lo ber of Shabbos, lo ber of Yontif. What this means is that we do not judge on Shabbos or Yontif. So to judge a court case on Shabbos and Yontif, that would be a violation of the Shabbos. We'll try to figure out why a little bit later on. But let's just accept that. Now, if he starts the judgment on Friday, then since there's a requirement in Dinei Nefashos of Halonas Hadin, he's going to have to wait until the next day, which would be Shabbos in this case. And we're not going to be Docha Shabbos. So that means we're going to have to delay the final judgment until Sunday. Which means that there's a 2-day period of time between the decision and the final verdict, and that we can't do. That's a different halacha. That's called Inui Adin. I forgot if I wrote that. No, that I didn't get a chance to write on the board. That's called Inui Adin. So Inui Adin means that since the winds are blowing in favor of Chayav, I mean, they're about to hand down a decision of Chayv, and you may ask me, how do they know that that's so? Because the deliberations indicate that, you know, the preponderant majority of the judges seem to be inclined towards Chayv to say that he should be condemned to death. At that point, we begin a process called Inui Adin, which means that we're going to allow just one night until the final verdict is handed down. On a psychological level, we could say that the accused is going through tremendous anguish. You know, he thinks that he's about to be condemned to death. So we want to do that process within a reasonable amount of time. So to postpone the final handing down of the verdict over Shabbos from Friday to Sunday, that we're not going to do. So let me read to you a couple of important notes here from the Yerushalmi. He says that the Gemara implies here, the Mishnah implies, that Dini Momenos you could judge on a Friday or Erev Yontif. The Yerushalmi says in the name of Rabbi Avo that even in Dini Momenos we do not judge monetary cases on Erev Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi records a kasha that the Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi objects to Rabbi Avo from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah implies that only in the case of Dinei Nefashos Lo Be'erev Shabbos, but as implying almost explicitly that in Dinei Mominos you're allowed to judge an Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara answers that our Mishnah is dealing with a Din D'Oraisa, and Rabbi Avo is dealing with the Din D'Rabbanan, Shegazru Shegam B'dini Mamonos Ein Donin Be'erev Shabbos. So that Rabbi Avo's statement that we don't allow Dini Mamonos on Erev Shabbos on a Friday, that's a Gzera, because the Rabbanan wanted to equate Dini Mamonos with Dini Nefashos, because if they can allow for judgment on Dini of Dini Mamonos on Shabbos, which the Torah does allow, there's no reason to object, then maybe they'll come to judge even Dini Nefashos on Erev Shabbos. So it's hard to believe that such a gzeir would apply to Dayanim, but I'm just giving you the facts on the ground. So the Rambam, and after the Rambam, the Tur in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, they all paskin that ain't done in Dini Mamonos be Erev Shabbos. And this is all based on the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Avo. Now the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Avo is only Durabbanon. The Pnei Moshe, who's the super commentary on the Yerushalmi, he assumes that the reason for this Durabbanon is because we want to equate Dini Mamonos with Dini Nefashos. However, the Tur in Choshen Mishpat, when he codifies this din of Ein Donin Dini Mamonos Be'erev Shabbos, he gives a totally different reason, not like the Pnei Moshe. And he says the reason why we don't allow Dini Mamonos on Erev Shabbos is Mishum Shetrudim Ba'achonas Tzorchei Shabbos V'yontif. It's hard to get the proper mindset of the judges to think clearly on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is a very precious day. And what I find in my life, it doesn't get any better in the summertime. I don't know, for some reason, you think if Shabbos ends, you know. The Ramah writes on that same halacha in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Hay, says the Ramah, Yesh mi shekasuv shebizman hazeh noagim lahake lo dun dini mamonos be'erev Shabbos be'erev yontif, mishum there's a minhag today to push in favor of allowing dini mamonos on Erev Shabbos, mishum bito malamdim, which means shim hayu adayonim tzichim lispanos lo dun bimei ha-shavua yizbatlu milimad ha-torah shayim malamdim b'yeshiva, which means that in the yeshivas it seems that Friday was a little bit of a more laid-back day. And I remember this also from my days in yeshiva. So that during the week, we want to allow the Dayanim as much free time, you know, pressureless time, to dedicate themselves to Limud Torah. And on Friday, which is less of a strict, you know, schedule, that's when they would get involved in we could allow them to judge on Friday, in order that there'll be less of a bittul limud Torah. V'afilu shekiyem kaim chashash lo misuna b'din, despite the fact that the Torah had said that maybe they won't be careful in judgment on Friday because the tirdas hachonas Shabbos, the pressures of Shabbos, mikom makom hol shebimomad adinu shehefker bezin hefker. So when we're weighing, and you know, I always say all of halacha is about scales. You know, that's what I think the key to Shas is scales. Scales meaning balancing, weighing one against the other. So on the one hand, we're not in favor of Friday because, as the Torah says, we're tarud in preparing for Shabbos, so we don't have clear minds. On the other hand, we want to limit the bittul limud Torah as much as possible. So to expand Limud HaTorah, we want to make the Dayanim free during the rest of the week. So how do we juggle between these two? And the Ramah is in favor, again, he's just trying to justify the minhag that he saw in his day, that they actually sat in judgment on Friday. And he says that they tipped the scale in favor of limiting the bittul Limud HaTorah, even at the expense of some element of perhaps loss of clarity of decision because of the Tirud of Shabbos. And the reason why they could make that decision, according to that minog, is because we're dealing with dini momenos, and the underlying principle of dini momenos is hefker bezin hefker, meaning, you know, we're not worried about theft, about zela, because even in the worst case scenario, if bezin would hand down an improper decision with some sort of element of mistake in it, but nevertheless, hefker bezin hefker. And he calls it, and this is the language, he says, afilu im yitu bedavar, even if they make a mistake, is ein isur, there's no isur, because at the end of the day, there's hefker bezin hefker. Well, now he wants to know, the Rambam, what's going to be if it's not a dini momenos case, but it's not a dini nefashos case. The nefashos, we said, is completely excluded on a Friday. That's already an isur d'oraisa called ini adin, because we'll have to wait till Sunday to hand down the first. So that, there's no playing around with that. But what happens if you have a case which is neither here nor there? It's not dini momenos, where you have hefker bezin hefker, and it's not dini nefashos. And this he calls shar isurim. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to wait about 5 minutes, because the next part of the Mishnah is going to deal with what's called shar isurim. I'll give you one example just so we can get by the next 5 minutes. Let's say Tumah V'Tara. Right, a person comes in front of Beis Din and he walked down a certain shvil, and there was a question if there was a dead body there or not. So he has to get a Horas Beis Din, a determination as to whether he's Tumah or Tar. Is that Dini Momenos? Absolutely not. Is it Dini Nefashos? Absolutely not. So this is the middle ground, you know, which is neither here nor there. So that the absolute prohibition of judging on Erev Shabbos, which applies in Dini Nefashos, would not be applicable in Shar Isurim. On the other hand, the Heter, that we were more flexible on Erev Shabbos, despite the Tirchas and Tirdav Shabbos, of Hakonos HaShabbos, which applies to all cases, whether it's this, that, or the other thing, where there's always going to be a tirda that's going to interfere with the clarity of thought. So in Dini Momenos, we have a counter, we have a mitigating factor, and that is Hefker Bezin Hefker. We don't have that in Shari Surin. So therefore the Ramos says that Bishari Surim Shein Shayach Tam Hefker Bezin Hefker Osur Lodun Bahem Bi'Arv Shavs Machshmats Machmat Chashash Shema Yitu Bidin. Now this is very important, because you begin to understand now, in the light of the Ramah, why the Mishnah was totally focused on Dini Momenos. And the Mishnah says that that in Dini Momenos you're allowed to judge on Friday. And again, according to Ramah, the ultimate reason for that leniency is going to be Hefker Bezin Hefker. The Mishnah then goes ahead and tells us that in Dini Nefashos there's absolutely no judgment on Friday. That can't be because of the Ini Adin problem. But why did the Mishnah not mention Shar Isurim? Right, which, you know, you have these two circles, but now you have a whole area in the middle, and that was completely omitted in the Mishnah. So I think the Ramah's answer to that question, again, this is just Berzon talking, but would be the following, that there was no need for the Mishnah to introduce Shari Sur, because the implication of leniency on Erev Shabbos with regard to Dini Momenos has no application beyond the scope of Dini Momenos. What's unique about Dini Momenos is Hefker Bezin Hefker. That principle doesn't operate anywhere beyond that very limited scope of Dini Momenos. And therefore, as we saw in the Yerushalmi, in the name of Rabbi Avo, we don't judge Dini Momenos on Erev Shabbos. And the Pnei Moshe understood that's because of Gzeira Atu Dini Nefashos. The Torah says it's because of Torud and so forth. The Ramah says, but we have a bit of, like our Mishnah, that we do judge monetary cases on Friday? And the answer is because of Hefka Bezdin Hefka. So that and all the shikulim that we said about Limud HaTorah, and that overrides the problem of lack of clarity because of Tirdas Hachanas HaShabbos. But that's only because, as the Rambam points out, Hefker Bezdin Hefker has no application to Shari Surim. In that sense, since the Mishnah is establishing Dini Mamas as the exception to the rule, and the general rule is that we don't judge on Erev Shabbos because of the Tirda, says the Tur, of Hachana L'Tzarchei Shabbos, so Dini Mamas is the exception to the rule. And that, says the Rambam, is because of the unique principle of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. All other cases, including Dine Isa Veheter, we would go back to square one and we would insist that you're Torahed on Erev Shabbos. Correct? You're Torahed on Erev Shabbos. All right. That's what we have so far. Now, let's ask one other question before we go on in the Mishnah. We said that there's no judgment in capital cases on Friday because we're going to have a problem of Inui Adin, right? We're going to have to postpone the final judgment until Sunday. He says, why is there an Inui Adin in this case? Okay, this is a question of the commentaries. Inui Adin applies once Beis Din has handed down the judgment. After they had handed down the judgment, then anything beyond that would be Inui Adin. But here, they started deliberations on Friday, and they only handed down the judgment on Sunday. Why is that Inui Adin? I'll read to you his language. He says, Kemichelo Poskuas Adin, the Erev Shabbos, Elab Ad Yom Rishon, Shuv Enkan Inui Adin. Why? He says, Kol Shelo Nigmar Dino Lechova, if they haven't yet handed down a verdict that he's guilty as accused, that he's condemned to death, Ein Bazeh Inui Adin. Right? What is Inui Adin? Inui Adin means once there's a decision made of Beis Din. If the decision has been made in Beis Din, then this accused who's on trial, he's hoping that at any moment they'll find some sort of a clause or a reasoning that will be matzel him, that would save him. After Gmar Din, once there's Gmar Din that he has to be put to death, then there's Inui Adin. And for him, as knowing that he's condemned to death, to delay, that causes Inui Adin. But here, there was never a decision handed down on Friday. So why would that be Inui Adin? He's hoping that they'll acquit him, they'll find some sort of reason to exonerate him. So the Achronim give the following answer. And this is a whole new curveball in this sugya. I'm very uncomfortable with this, but this is what he says. He says, "Hadayonim alulim lishkoach es hatamim vasvaros ad yom rishon." If all the deliberations were done on Friday, and the final judgment is going to come, the decision is going to be handed down on Sunday, you're allowing for a 48 period of time in between. Is alulim lishkach? It could be that the dayanim for the next 48 hours they're not doing chazara, you know, they're busy with other things, and they may have forgotten the logic that compelled them to, you know, each one individually to come to that decision. The afalpi shes sofrei adayanim omdim lifnei v'kosvim es divrei amezakim es divrei amechayvim. You might ask, well, why would they forget? It's already written up by the court scribe, What do they call it in secular law? The stenographer. What do they call it? The court stenographer, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. So all the arguments are already recorded. He says that the scribe is only, shall I say, capable of recording that which they heard. But there are many different thoughts that pass through the judges' minds, which they don't express verbally. So the sofrim cannot write down those thoughts. Now, if I understand this correctly, and I'm not sure who he's quoting here, usually the Masifta tells you exactly who he's quoting, but I think, and again, this is, as I say, limited liability, but I think what he's saying is that a dayan can't just come to some conclusion and, so to speak, make a note of it, mental note of it, and then hand down a decision 2 days later or whatever it might be based on the fact that he made a note in his mind, in his mental notepad, he wrote, this guy's chay. The moment that you stand up to vote and hand in your vote in the final count, at that moment itself, you have to be aware of all the logical reasons or all the compelling ideas that you had in your mind that led you to that conclusion. Are you with me, Rabbi Say, at all what I just said? Let me try that one more time. I'm on Friday, right? So on Friday, after all the deliberations, I'm a judge and I came to the conclusion he's chayav, let's say. So I take out a little piece of paper and I write John Paul Jones is chayav, right? And then 2 days later, I come into the Pesdin and we're ready for vote, you know, to hand down the Friday verdict, and I vote lechova. I don't even remember the case. Or if I remember the case, I don't remember the details. And if I remember the details, I don't remember my compelling logic, my thoughts that led me to the conclusion. All I do is I look at my piece of paper and I said, well, I already decided that he's chayav. No. When you vote and you hand down your decision to condemn someone who's accused of a capital crime, you have to know, you have to be fresh out of the oven in terms of all the reasoning that led you to that conclusion, that made you decide what you decided. And therefore, we can't allow a 48-hour period.
Not a good analogy, fresh out of the oven.
Oh, okay. I'm translating from the Yiddish. Okay. You know, in Yiddish, there's a phrase, fresh gebacht, you know, which means right out of the oven. Okay. So you have to have all the logic right there in your mind. You know, the deliberation has to lead immediately into your vote.
It makes sense. Someone's potential life is on the line.
So that again, Rabbo said, this sheds a whole different light. We were operating under one premise, and again, whoever wrote this footnote is operating under a totally different premise. He doesn't tell you who it is. Our premise was that the problem of deliberation on Friday and decision or verdict on Sunday was because of the psychological anguish that it causes the accused. Mm-hmm. Because he's got to wait this 2 day period until they finally decide his destiny in life or in death. And that's called Ini Adin. He's rejecting that. There's no Ini Adin. Ini Adin only applies once the decision has been made and this accused has been condemned to death, and then you take your time in putting him to death. It's really interesting because usually the Torah is in favor of extending life. Here's a case where the Torah is opposed to extending life. But that's only after they made the decision. So he says since they only did the deliberations on Sunday, there would be no Ini Adin if the final decision is made on Sunday. And during that 48-hour period of time, the Nidon, you know, the person who's on trial, he's thinking to himself, oh, they're going to acquit me. They, you know, he's really holding out with great hope for the future. So that's not Ini Adin, he says. Ah, it's a different problem. The problem is that the judges will not be handing in their verdict, you know, amida l'minyan, mitoch shikol adas u'mitoch masumat, you know, straight away from their decision making process. They've been allowed to, the bread got stale, so to speak. Already it's 2 days have passed since they thought all that, these thoughts. So again, I'm also, you know, I'm just going to tell you that this to me is a curveball. You know, it's a total reinterpretation of the sugya. Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, like if someone is dying, obviously they're eminently qualified. And I can recall learning with a guy who was a Talmud Chacham, you
right.
know, the kola where I used to live.
Okay.
And, I mean, he could call.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the fridge. I think this is my lunch and it spoils it. If Don, you're doing a mitzvah, I could ask you for another chesed. Just bring me even a half a cup of water, hot though, not cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this come up with quite a few things, obscure references. He just knew it as all in his head. If you have a dayan who reached a decision on Friday and was eminently qualified, why couldn't he remember on Sunday like this fellow I used to learn with? Like he'd be qualified.
I would say, Bob, that if we're going to take this approach that I'm mentioning to you now, and I can't even attribute it to any name because I don't see he's quoting any name, then it's more of a halacha. It's like a regiment. It's a rule. The rule is that the amida l'minyan, which is the final vote, has to come mitoch masumat. The masumatan has to culminate with a final decision. If there's a breakage, thank you so much, in the continuity between the Masu Matan, oh Shrek, I'm so sorry. You know, I don't want to blame anybody, but for years I'm fighting with my better half about these cups. I hate them. You blow on them and they yeah. But the trouble is, we run out of the other cups, you know.
That's the problem. There's no other cups.
Yeah. Figure that. All right, I'm going to have to buy you a new notebook. But
it's not the notebook, it's the notes.
The notes, right, I know.
The notebook, okay. I can replace.
Okay. All right, so where were we holding? Just like, so that's what I'm telling you. I'm not going to analyze this approach on a psychological level. Obviously, we're talking about psychology, but at some point it becomes a halacha. Do you know what I mean by halacha?
Yeah, yeah.
It becomes a rule. Again, I would be happier if we had a pasuk for it, because usually, you know, the difference between logic and psychology and a rule is that a rule is derived from a pasuk. But I don't have that, unfortunately. Okay. I wish I had a pasuk for it, but I'm sort of making up a pasuk. It is, you know, as if the pasuk existed. What the pasuk is telling me is, I'm not going to view Amida Ladin, the final vote, as just a technical matter. It's much more than technical. It's the culmination of all the deliberations, and there has to be a linkage between the deliberations and the final decision. All right, we'll try to go on in the Mishnah and. Bob, you know what I might recommend, I don't know if it'll help at all, is lift up that page and put another piece of paper underneath it. It might help it dry a little quicker. Page that got the brunt of it. I mean, obviously you'd have to lift up probably 20 pages, but...
Actually, there's not much underneath.
So, do me a favor, Bob, if you could just even open up the page, you know, flatten it out on the table, it'll have a better chance of drying, you know.
Fortunately,
it's blank underneath.
Yeah, fortunately, you're okay.
So it's just that one page?
Well,
that guy or the other side also?
That's the brunt of it. I don't know. The other side wasn't as bad.
Oh, it wasn't as bad?
If I told you I saw it coming, would you believe me?
You probably saw it coming once I tipped him.
No. I said it was like, you know, what if he tips it?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I interrupt.
Yeah, because what happens is, you know, I get involved and I... Yeah. All right, I'm feeling pretty badly. But anyways, so let's just try to... We have to learn Torah B'Simcha, so...
Rabbi, it's only water. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm not worried about the water. I'm worried about the ink.
Or
the wet ink.
Nah.
Okay. Hopefully by tomorrow it'll dry. And if not, we'll have to wait till Sunday.
are we starting Eruvim tomorrow? Then I can just get
I'm hoping we'll start Eruvim on Friday, on Thursday.
Thursday.
I'm hoping, and that's my hope. My son already bought me. You were the one who told me, right? Who were the one? Was it you?
No.
Don, somebody told me on Eruvim there's a picture book.
Usher
told me.
Usher
told me. Yeah. So I already own it. It's in my son's house, but hopefully I'll get it by Thursday. He already bought it for me.
All right.
I asked him if there's something parallel for Masechta Shabbos. The Shabbos also, he could use a couple of good pictures. So he's going to check that out.
I know you don't like Rav Steinsaltz in his sparring. He puts at least the new one. He put pictures.
Oh, so we have to get Erev and see if he can get a hold of Erev. Okay, so you'll have it. Okay, so I might have to photocopy some of those pictures. But what I heard about this book is that the advantage of this book is that the pictures are in color.
You still want water, right?
But wait a minute.
I'll double up.
Take a bunch of cups.
I'll double up.
This is like your tzatzel gavi yirash.
What? So you're switching this up to the end of the week?
Just for at least a period of time. I want to accomplish two goals. You know, sometimes I need a little bit of break, and also I'm afraid of Erevin, if you know what I mean. I never learned Erevin, so I need a little bit of time to at least get my feet weighed in Erevin. I have a tremendous existential connection to Sanhedrin, because I love Sanhedrin, and thanks.
I'm moving away.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got the message, John. You don't trust me anymore.
Once and twice shy.
All right. What else? So that's what we have. That's what we have so far. Dine Momenos. And now, for the first time, the Mishnah expands the circle of Dine Momenos to include Tumos Vitaros. This is what I called Shari Surim, if you remember that phrase from a few minutes ago. So in Tumah Vitara, we have a person coming into Beis Din with any one of different shilas. Maybe he's asking about Tumas Nida. Maybe he's asking about Tumas Mes. Perhaps he's asking a question about Shruma. Maybe the Truma came in contact with a Sheretz or some Sofek Tumah, whatever it might be. And Maschilim Min HaGadol. Now, this concept, Maschilim Min HaGadol, means that the first judge on the court who is going to express his opinion is going to be the Gadol, the greatest. That's a big chiddush. And we'll soon see that in Dini Nefashos it's not like that. Why? Because as soon as you allow the Gadol to express his opinion, then one of two things will happen. And neither of them are very good. One is that the Ketanim, those who are not on his level, will be inhibited. They'll be afraid to express an opinion against him because who am I to question his decision? It'll be a chutzpah on my part. Or perhaps even worse than that, they'll be so influenced by the thought process of the gadol, it'll restrict their minds. They won't be able to make their own decision. And with all the respect to the gadol, but we want every single judge to weigh the pros and cons and come to his own decision. He'll be so influenced. It's almost like a bribe, in a sense. You know, why don't we accept bribes? Because then you won't be able to think clearly. Or we said you can't judge on Erev Shabbos because your Torah would be B'Achanah Shabbos. Here too, he won't be able to think. His vision is clouded. He's influenced by the gadol. So the chiddush is that we're not afraid of that. We're going to tell every dayan, and Bob, as you said, the dayanim are experts, that they have to think it out on their own. We're going to tell them even more than that. If they know that the gadol is making a mistake, in other words, they are convinced that there's a counter argument, then they're obligated to express that. we have laws of Kovod HaTorah and Kovod HaRav and honor and this and that, but not here in a court situation. If you think otherwise, you're obligated to express your opinion and then to try to influence the other judges.
But that's Dini Momenos. And
okay, we're going to get to Dini Momenos
in the other one. It's the opposite.
But I'm just trying to explain, to sort of set the stage for Dini Nefashos. I'm telling you why this is a big chiddush, that in Dini Momenos we can start with the Gadol. I don't know. We'll get to that in just a second. But in any event, what is the drawback? There's a tremendous drawback in starting with the Gadol, because the Ketanim are going to be inhibited, or they'll be influenced, and that's not something that we want. But the Mishnah says it's okay. Why? Because it's Dini Momenos. Now the Mishnah adds Tumas Vitaros. So the Aruch Haner, you know, he was a giant amongst German Jewry it's already actually two centuries ago, I think. Anyway, his name was Ettlinger. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shimon Shaul Hirsch. He says, I don't understand why the Mishnah all of a sudden woke up out of a deep slumber and decides to throw in Tumas Vitaros. That Tumas Vitaros have the same halacha as Dini Momenos. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that earlier? And I think the answer to the Aruch Haner might be that our discussion from before of the Ramah, that Adarabba, in the previous discussion in which we came to the conclusion that you're not allowed to judge capital crimes on Friday, but you are allowed to judge monetary cases on Friday. In this context, Tuma Vitaro would be equivalent to capital cases. Why? Because Dine Momentus are unique in that Hefker Bezin Hefker. But when we come to a question of, are we to be afraid of inhibiting the younger members of the court because the Gadol is, again, when I say younger, I don't mean that literally, but because the senior, you know, Zokain, the Gadol, has expressed his opinion first, then in Tuma Vitaro has the same status as Dini Momenos. He quotes here another question, the name of the Tosus Yontif, who lived about probably four centuries ago, I'm not sure, three centuries ago, and he writes, Madualo is Kira Mishnah Gam Isa Vehete. Why did the Mishnah pinpoint Tuma Vitara? But we don't have an answer to that question, but it must be that Isa Vehete is included under Tuma Vitara, because it's all in one parasha in the Torah, in Parsha Shmini. So you'll see there that the Isa Vehete, which is called, you know, which animals you're allowed to eat and which are not kosher, the Torah calls it Tuma. The Torah says if you eat a behemoth Tmea, it's called Tmea. So the concept of Tuma is, in its broader sense, includes all Isa Vehete. So the Tosus Yontif will certainly interpret this Mishnah in a broader scope, that Tuma Vitara means Shar Adios, Shar Isurim, all Isurim. Now we get to Dini Nefashos. Maschilim min atzad. Interesting phrase. Min atzad, which literally means from the side. The way they seated the judges in the Bezdin, and again, now we're talking about a Sanhedrin, a Ketana, made up of 23 judges for Dini Nefashos. They would put the senior members of the court right there up front, and the ketanim, if I could use that term, were seated on the sides. So the phrase minatzad means the ketanim. So who's going to open up the deliberation in a capital case? It's going to be dafka the ketanim, not the gadol. Why? Because again, we're afraid that if we start with the gadol, it might tip the scale in the direction of condemning the accused, and the accused therefore won't get the fairest judgment possible. If you start with a cut and he says, well, I think he's guilty as accused, okay, that's one man's opinion, it's not going to influence the rest of the court. But if you start with a guttle and he says, I think he's guilty as accused, you've already influenced the entire court, and you sort of tipped the scale in favor of condemning the accused. And again, as we said over and over again in Dini Nefashos, the special halacha v'itzilu ha'eda, and we have an agenda here. If all things are equal, we have to work towards acquitting the accused. We don't want to put a Jewish man to death. and we're going to do the maximum that we can to avoid a situation where the judges are influenced to condemn the accused, and therefore we want to start with a cut. And if we start with a gadol, and he's going to express a negative view to condemn this person, then he's a goner. You know, the rest of the court is going to be very hard pressed to try to disagree. So I have here a very, very important footnote. And he says the following. B'Sanhedrin Ketana, that's one of the Achronim, one of the later commentaries, Hiksha, he asks the following question. Madua im agadol yizkeh lo ichbas lanu shlo yirtzu lachal kal dvarav. The entire thrust of our nervous tension here, as you'll see in Rashi, Dibri HaMaskel Min, is because we're afraid that the Gadol will come and he open up the deliberation with a negative, with a condemning argument. Well, what happens if he would come with an argument to exonerate the accused? Hare HaTorah Ratzasa Shiyaduna Dini Nefashas. The Torah commands us to judge capital cases. The Imbe Emes Chayev Misa, and if in truth he's worthy of death, of guilty of the crime, is Yesh L'Kayim Bo Dini Misa. The Torah says in such a case, this entire parasha, it's one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, that we put to death the criminal. Im Kain, Gamim Yizaka Gadol, even if the first, when the Gadol expresses the opinion first, but he wants to be Mizaka, he wants to find him guiltless, lo yirtzu lachlok olav. The rest of the members of the court will not want to disagree with the gadol. They're very inhibited to disagree with him, or they're influenced by him. And we're going to be mezaka this person shelo kedin. Why? Because of the undue, exaggerated influence of the gadol. So the other kasha, the Sanhedrin Ketana, is a beautiful kasha. He's saying that, now, to the same extent that you don't want to influence the court if the gadol starts l'chiyuv, we should say the same thing. We don't want to influence the court if the gadol starts l'zakos, because if he's guilty, the Torah commands us to judge him and condemn him and put him to death. V'tirets, and here's his answer. He says, B'derech she'ela, Yecholim haktanim lachlok al agadol. V'lachein b'momenos maschilim min agadol. Sharei yecholim lachlok olav b'derech she'ela. Now again, what this has to do with, we didn't get to the sugil yet, is covered gedolei adayonim. It's not acceptable for the katan, after the gadol expressed his opinion, to stand up and say that's wrong. What he could do is he can ask a question. But what if kind of thing. This is what I call diplomacy. So he does it in a diplomatic way. Over benefashos chashishu shlo yirtza lachlok olav afilu b'derech zu. We were afraid that the ketanim will be so inhibited to argue with the gedolim, they won't even want to go that route of derech she'eva. So therefore, gam benefashos im yizaka ha'gadol Ein chashash shelo yuchul lachok olav, kevin shichov lachol falav derech she'elav. Rak im yechayev agadol, oz yesh chashash shelo yirtzel lachok olav afilu b'derech she'elav. So I'm just going to tell you what the Sanhedrin Akhtana says, and you'll tell me if you understand it. I'm having trouble with it, but let's see if we can iron out the glitches together. He says the following. That in Dine Momenos, the katan will not be inhibited about disagreeing with the gadol. Why? Because he'll ask it b'derech she'ela. He'll do it diplomatically. But in Dine Nefashos, herein lies the distinction. If the gadol will start with a chiyuv, are you with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says that the katan is going to be inhibited even to ask b'derech she'ela. If the gadol starts with zchus, then the Kohen could say, but wait a minute, here's the murder weapon, or here are the two witnesses that saw the crime, we interrogated, blah, blah, blah. Why don't we listen to them? Why don't we give some credence to this evidence? So if they ask him a derech sheila diplomatically, they're not inhibited to do so, because the halacha permits them to do so. They have given their due diligence to kavod ha'dayan and kavod ha'gadol. But if the gadol starts with a chiyuv, then the katan is inhibited even to ask the derech sheila. So I'll read it to you one more time inside. He says, "Indeed, imamnos sheyicholim aktanim lachlok al gadol b'derech she'ela is therefore indeed imamnos maschilim min hagadol sherei yicholim lachlok al b'derech she'ela. The ktanim will in fact disagree with the gadol b'derech she'ela, but b'nefashos chashishu shelo yirtzu lachlok al vafilu b'derech she'ela." And it means the following. In the Foshos, im yizake ha-gadol, if the gadol expresses an opinion, luzchus, is ein chashash lo yuchlu lachlok olav, kevin sheyicholim lachlok olav b'derech she'ela. I think what he's saying, again, it's not crystal clear.
Yeah.
I think what he's saying is that in Din Foshos, there is some sort of element of inhibition on the part of the ketanim, even if they're going to ask it b'derech she'ela. And when does that inhibition bother me? When does the chashash that he won't want to disagree with the ketanim won't want to disagree with the gadol even b'derech she'ela, that bothers me in the case where the gadol started b'derech chova, because then there's a life at stake. And if there's some element, call it 20%, whatever the statistics are, of a worry that the gadol, that the katan won't avail himself of his legal rights and a judge, or obligations to ask a question on the gadol and question his decision, but nevertheless, despite his rights and his obligation to do so, he still feels very inhibited about it, then we're in deep trouble. Because then again, as we said before, we're tipping the scale in favor of killing, of putting this condemned person to death. It could be that even if the gadol would start l'schus, there's still a chashash that maybe the katan will be inhibited about asking a question, questioning the opinion of the gadol. But what do we lose by that? I don't know. It's not clear. So, gam nefashos im yizake.
I don't see the difference.
Just 1 second. Gam nefashos im yizake hagadol. If the gadol expresses I'm looking for a word that'll save me a lot of other words, but I don't know what it is. If the gadol will express a zchus, we'll just use the Hebrew word for the time being. Then he says, "Ein chashash shelo yuchal lachlok olav b'derech she'ela. Rak im hagadol yechayev es hanidon, oz yesh chashash shelo yirtzo lachlok olav b'derech she'ela." Just, well, why would that be? In a case where the gadol says that we should let him off the hook, then he's not going to be inhibited. But in a case where the gadol said he's chayav, then there's more of an inhibition. Yesh chashash. Yesh, even though, again, he's within his legal bounds, the katan, to disagree, and he has to do it because of derech she'ela, but since the gadol expressed a chiyuv, therefore there's a chashash that he won't want to disagree with the gadol. I'm just going to offer, I don't have the Sanhedrin Ketan in front of me, I'm just going to, based on this summary, I'm just going to offer what I think he's saying. I'm not so thrilled about it, but I think what he's saying is that if the gadol made a decision in his mind, or he's at least moving in that direction, that there's enough evidence to condemn the accused, the gadol must have gone through a heck of a lot of thinking and whatever he says and pronounces in front of the Beis Din is a result of, shall I say, you know, decades upon decades of experience. You know, his beard is already white. You know what I mean? He's experienced. And for the Gadol to make that decision that he's going to start by opening the plenum, you know, the session, by saying, we have enough evidence here, you know, there's this, that, and the other thing, and therefore, that means that he's putting his full weight behind it. You know, the Gadol, when I say his full weight, I'm not talking about political weight, don't misunderstand me. I mean the weight of his thinking process. It's going to be very hard to get up for the Kotel to say, without his experience, say, but wait a minute, I have a question for you, Rabbi so-and-so. What about this? What about that? So even that diplomatic method, he's inhibited to utilize. Masha Einkein, if the Gadol will say l'schus, so he's not putting his full weight behind it. He's saying that maybe there's not enough evidence, you know, that he doesn't have to give a whole, because again, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. So he's saying, well, I don't know if we have enough evidence. So the Kotel is going to say, but Rabbi so-and-so, what about these two witnesses? Why are you disqualifying them? That's the best I can do over here. Yeah. All right, we have about 3-4 minutes left. Let's see what we can accomplish here. Okay, we'll try and make it fast. So he says the following: Bedina nefashos maschilu min atzad. Because if you start from the Gadol, then the Katan is going to be inhibited to disagree with the Gadol. You've already tipped the scale in favor of condemning the person. And then finally, the Mishnah says, "Hakol ksherim ladun dine mamonos, afilu mamzer." The ein hakol ksherim ladun dine nefashos el rakoanim ulevim v'Yisrael hamesiim lekuhuna. So what we have here in the last part of the Mishnah, a discussion about who qualifies for judgment, and again, a contrast between monetary law and capital law, who qualifies for judgment. So there's a halacha called miyuchasim. Miyuchasim means that we have Jewish lineage without any psul. Psul means some admixture of psulei kol. Psulei kol are those who are not allowed to enter into the Jewish nation. And in the Mishnaic language, the phrase from Yuchasim is called Yisraelim HaMasiim LeKuhuna, which means the following. The Kohanim have to be very careful about who they marry. There are many different strictures that apply to Kohanim. And the Gemara says in Ksubas, for example, my loss of the Yuchasim, with regard to Kohanim, any sort of doubt about the possibility of a disqualifying admixture of blood in this lineage, they won't be able to marry this girl. So there are certain families in Israel, let's hope they're 99% of Israel, but those families are known to be miyuchasim, and we have every reason to believe that all the laws of marriage were meticulously observed by these families to such an extent that their daughter could be married off to a kohen. And a kohen doesn't have to be inhibited. Well, maybe there's some psul over here. Maybe there's some disqualification. When it comes to dini momenos, there are no strictures whatsoever. Anyone could judge in dini momenos. Even a mamzer. Mamzer is the extreme example of psule kol, right? A mamzer is not allowed to marry anybody except for a mamzeres or maybe a gioris. But other than that, That's a psul, and he can't enter into the Jewish, but he can be a dayan. So you have a mamzer who's a dayan. You know, you can make all sorts of facetious jokes about that, but he's a mamzer and he's a dayan. He's a judge. Now, I think we'll have to leave this discussion for tomorrow. There's something called Ger She'imo Mi'Yisrael. A Ger She'imo Mi'Yisrael means that his father is not Jewish and his mother is Jewish. And the question is whether such a person is allowed to marry a Kohen or not. So for this we have to really brush up on some of our knowledge of Eben Ezer. I think it's Siman Yud Zayin, if I remember correctly. There's a whole Siman about who a Kohen is allowed to marry. But whatever it is, this case is a person whose daughter cannot marry a Kohen, but he can still serve as a Dayan for what? For Dinei Mamonos.
What's the expression you use for untainted...
Miuchasin.
How do you spell it?
Okay, I'll write that on the board if I can just find the... Miyuchas. That's the singular. You have it there, Don?
Yeah.
And if you want to make it plural, you add a yud mem. So miyuchasiv.
Okay. And it just means.
What do you say?
It's right in Rashi. Rashi is a book.
The word miuchas, so you can copy it from Rashi. I don't know if he has Rashi here.
No, I have Rashi. But so it's specifically lineage that's pure, that can marry into the kahuna? Is that right?
You have to have the pure lineage in order to marry into kahuna. And only such a person would be allowed to judge on a court in capital cases. As far as monetary cases, it's carte blanche. It's a much more liberal anybody. Even a mamzer who's the last... He's... Like the other extreme of a miuchas is a mamzer. He's mamish psulei kol, but he's still kosher, and he can sit on a court for monetary law. Okay, and so that's something that we'll b'li neder, pick up tomorrow.
What do you plan to do?